Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Pesachim daf Yira Aleph. We left off in daf Yira and Beis. We're at the Mishnah on daf Yira and Beis. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for the sponsorship. So the Mishnah is going to start talking about on the bottom of Yira and Beis, what happens if a person didn't do Bedikas Chametz on time? What are the proper secondary times to do Bedikas Chametz? And is there ever a time where it's too late to do Bedikas Chametz? And picking up from that, where Rabbi Yehuda does not allow doing bedika after chametz already becomes asur, because Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that you're going to come to eat the chametz if you're doing bedika at a time where it's already asur. So the Gemara questions: is Rabbi Yehuda generally concerned that you might eat forbidden things that you deal with when they're forbidden? And the Gemara is going to have three distinctions that could be made between chametz on the one hand, where Rabbi Yehuda apparently has this concern that we don't want you dealing with chametz lest you come to eat it, versus chadash, where apparently Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned and he thinks that it's perfectly fine to deal with chadash even when it's asr to eat. So we're going to have three answers to why there might be a difference between those two halachos. And then on the bottom of Amud Aleph and the top of Amud Beis, we're going to talk about whether Rabbi Yehuda holds that we're less concerned that a person will come to eat something that he's not used to keeping away from throughout the year, meaning if it's something that he's used to having throughout the year, is there maybe more of a concern or less of a concern that he's going to come to eat it. So then the Mishnah on Beis is going to have three different shittos as to when on Erev Pesach it becomes asr to eat chametz, and that's going to lead to the Gemara, to a discussion of how much of a mistake people make in assessing what hour of the day it is, and even how much of a mistake people might make in assessing what the date on the calendar is. Meaning, do we assume that people are not bekiyin bekaviyah diarcha? They don't remember whether the last month was a 29-day month or a 30-day month, and therefore they're likely to get the date off by a day, and the nafkamina is for Kabbalah's Edus. If two Edom come and say, Reuven killed Shimon, and one says it happened on one day, the other one said it happened on another day, maybe they're talking about the same event, and there's no contradiction, it's just one of them was unaware of the Kaviyah Diarchas. So let's begin at the Mishnah on Daf Yudam Beis. Says the Mishnah, Rav Yudam, Rabot Gnor, Yudal, Yudal, Shachrus, Ubishas, Abiyur. That you do Bedika, Poshut reading of the Mishnah at this point sounds like three separate times. That you do Bedika on the night of Bedikas Chametz, what we normally do, and in the morning of Erev Pesach, and at the time that you burn the Chametz. V'chachamim omrim, and the Chametz say, no, lo badak ar yudalid, yivdok yudalid. Lo badak yudalid, yivdok betoch hamoed. If you didn't do Bedika at night, so then you do it on Erev Pesach. If you didn't do it then you're bodek betoch hamoed. What does betoch hamoed mean? Says Rashi, b'sha shishas u'moed abiyur. Meaning this is what Rabbi Yehuda referred to as the Shas Habiyur. So we're talking about the same three time frames, it's just that Rabbi Yehuda Pashut reading sounded like you do it all three time frames, night, morning, and Shas Habiyur, and the Chamer saying, no, those are Bidiyavet. If you didn't do the night time, you do morning. You still haven't done it, then you do it at the Shas Habiyur. Lo Batek B'toch Hamoed, if you didn't even do it then at the Shas Habiyur, then we add a fourth time frame according to the Chamim, Yivdok Li'achar Hamoed. Then you even would do the Bidika afterwards, La'achar Hamoed, after the Shas Habiyur, meaning up until the whole rest of the day in Erev Pesach, when chametz is already aser. And after you do b'dikas chametz, in general, you should take that chametz and put it in a safe place, so that you're not going to need b'dika achrav, because if you don't put it in a safe place, you have to be choshesh, a weasel is going to come, and it's going to take it, and it's going to bring it somewhere. So this we already asked the stira previously, that, wait a second, I thought we're not choshesh, we said in Daf Tes, I thought we're not choshesh, that a weasel is going to come and take chametz somewhere else. So we had a few different answers, that maybe there's a difference between chametz on Yud Gimel versus chametz on Yud Dalet, right? That's where the Gemara said, the Chulda knows that how much chametz is going to be accessible to it, that it's going to treat chametz differently on Yud Gimel than it does on Yud Dalet. We had other answers as well, but not for now. Now, Rashi had said the words b'toch hamoed mean during the Shas Biur. Tosos, in the bottom Tosos says, can't be. He said, Rabbi Yehuda just referred to the Shas Biur as Shas Biur. Why would the Chum not only argue on Rabbi Yehuda, but they use different terminology to describe the same exact zman? That's unlikely that would happen. V'kasha to Rabbi Yehuda, kari le shas habir, v'la mashina l'shono. If you really want to express how you're arguing on Rabbi Yehuda, use the same lashon to describe the zman that he was describing, and say that you disagree about it. Why would they change even the lashon of the zman? So says Tosfos, it's not what it means. Ela b'toch hamoed, haynu mitchila sheva at sofa pesach. That b'toch hamoed means that not shas habiur, it means from when chametz starts to become aser until Pesach is over. And then achar ha-moed doesn't mean what Rashi said, the rest of the day on Erev Pesach. No, that was toch ha-moed. Achar ha-moed means mamish, after Yantav is over. Well, why in the world am I doing bedikas chametz after Yantav is over? Because if I didn't do bedikas chametz before Yantav, and there may have been chametz in my possession throughout Pesach, I now have a problem of chametz sha'avar alav ha-Pesach, and I'm going to get confused between the chametz that was here the whole time over Pesach and the chametz that I just brought after Pesach, and I might come to eat the chametz shavar lav Pesach. So you got to do bedikas chametz. Tosfos understands the chametz. Tell me you got to do bedikas chametz even after Pesach is over in order to get rid of that chametz shavar lav Pesach. Why? What about Rashi? Why didn't Rashi say this way? So Tosfos suggests v'Rashi lo ratzel lefarish kein meishem pirish mishnah debot k'mishlo yavar balira, because Rashi understood in the mishnah that the purpose of bedikas chametz is to avoid violating balira bayimatzei. Well, guess what? After Pesach, too late to avoid violating by Rabbi Matzah. But if the chashash is like I think, says Tosfos, Shami Yavel Leachlo, that you might come to eat it, well, you're not allowed to eat chametz shavar lav Pesach, and therefore it makes sense that you're still going to do bedikas chametz after Pesach. So from the simple reading of the Mishnah, it sounds like there are two machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Number one, how many bedikas do you do? That Rabbi Yehuda says you do three times, and the Chachamim say no, you only do once. These are all just bedievids. And also, what's the most bedievid? Meaning, what's the latest time you do? You could possibly do bedikah, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says the latest time is before chametz becomes aser. The Chum say, depending how you understand, according to Rashi, the latest time would be right before Pesach actually begins, late in the day and air of Pesach, or according to Tosos, even after Pesach, that there is no latest time. You would still do bedikas chametz after Pesach. So says Gemara, my time at Rabbi Yehuda, what's the svar of Rabbi Yehuda? You can do all these bedikas chametz. So because the Torah mentions hashpasas chametz three times. So therefore, I want to do bedikas chametz three times. Lo yirah lecha chametz, lo yirah lecha sar, shiva sam sol eimatz batechem, ach biyam rishon tashpisu sar mi batechem. So says the Gemara, Masar Rav Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol shalom badak b'shol shaprakam alalu, shuv eino bodek. That Rabbi Yehuda's point is, if you didn't do bedika during any of these three times, then it's too late. You're not going to do bedika afterwards. But from that expression, alma b'mikan ve'elechu depligi, it makes it sound like Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing on how many times you do bedikas chametz, but on what the latest time to do bedikas chametz is. Because if Rabbi Yehuda makes his whole, if Rabbi Yehuda comments on the chachamim, that when the chachamim say, if you didn't do at night, do in the morning. If you didn't do in the morning, do in the afternoon. So and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, and if you didn't do in the afternoon, do later. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, only the first three times. So it's, but after, later, you're not going to do it. Sounds like that's the only point he's arguing on. He's only arguing on when the latest time to do bedikah is. It sounds like he's not arguing on how many times to do bedikah. And not only that, Marzutra had it even more explicit in a brisa that expressed in Rabbi Yosef's question of on Rabbi Yehuda. Masav Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. We have a brisa that says, that Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol shlobadak, here's the key word, be'echod mishlosh haprakim alalu, shuvenu bodek. That it said explicitly in the brisa, if you didn't do bedika in one of these times, then you can't do bedika. So it's explicitly, alma b'shuvenu bodek u'dupligi. Clearly the whole machlokas is about when is the latest time to do bedika, not about how many times. Rabbi just said, echod, one of these times. So Rabbi and the Chum agree they only do bedika once. Their only machlokas is, if you haven't yet done it, and it's a ready, Erev Pesach, late in the day, do you still do bedikas chametz, or is it now too late? El Rabbi Yehuda Nami im lo badak amar. Clearly, Rabbi Yehuda is only saying to do bedika morning of Erev Pesach, or shas habiur, if you have not yet done bedika in the right time. Certainly, the right time we already learned is to do it at night, and the Gemara had explained back on Daf Dalit that the reason we dafka do bedika at night is because Ora Ner is yafal bedika. We want to use an Ora Ner, and Shraga B'tiya Ramayahani, and Ner doesn't help during the daytime, and because the Gemara said back in Daf Dalit, because Anashim Mitzuyin Bebateim, that's when people are around their house. So they were masaking that as the ideal time for Bedika, but it's not the only possible time for Bedika. If you didn't do it at night, you could still do it in the morning. But the question is, when is it too late? V'hacha, v'hacha miflugi. And the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda on the Rabbanan, is about the following. Mar Sover Mekami Yisura In, Basar Yisura Lo, Rabbi Yehuda holds, you could do Bedika's Chametz up until the Chametz chametz becomes asr, but not after it becomes asr. Why not? Because we're worried that if you're going to be doing bedikas chametz and chametz is already asr, you might come to eat from the chametz as you're finding it. The Rabbanan say, no, there's no such gezeira, that if there's chametz around, you have to find it and destroy it, even if chametz is already asr. So first the Gemara is going to question the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Is that true, that whenever something is asr, we don't want you handling it because we're afraid you might come to eat it? Along the way, we'll also discuss the shita of the Rabbanan, why it is that the Rabbanan are not concerned that you're going to come to eat from it. But first, Rabbi Yehuda. Umi gaza Rabbi Yehuda. Does Rabbi Yehuda really make such a gezeira that you might come to eat from the chametz just because you're handling it? Well, we have another iser where Rabbi Yehuda does not seem to have that concern. V'hatnan, we have a Mishnah in Maseches Menachos that tells us Mishakarav HaOmer Yotzin Motzin Shuk Yerushalayim Shem Meleim Kamach V'Kali, that it used to be that when the Karban Omer was brought, so then the Tvuah Chadasha became Mutter as soon as the Karban Omer was brought. All the Chadash was Aser until the second day of Pesach to bring the Karban Omer. As soon as the Karban Omer was brought, though, the practice was, you can go out to the Shuk Yerushalayim and you'll see it's full of Tevuah Chadash already. Somehow they had it all prepared, they got it all processed, everything's ready to go. As soon as it becomes Mutter, it's already out there in the marketplace. So is that a good thing or a bad thing that it was immediately available? So that's a Machlokes Tanaim. Shalo Beretzon Chacham Divrei Meir. Rameir says the Chacham were not happy about that, because that means that while Chadash was still Aser, all these people are harvesting and grinding and sifting and they're handling the Chadash the entire time while it was still us, and Rameir is not happy about that. Rameir, we're going to assume, is the Chachamim in our Mishnah. So Rameir is not happy about that. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Beretzon Chacham Mayosin. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's no problem. They weren't eating it, they were just preparing it. And that's perfectly fine. There's no problem with handling something that's Aser, Bisha'a, that it's Aser at a time, that it's still Aser. And apparently Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned that you might come to eat from it just because you're handling it. So that's the stira in Rabbi Yehuda. How come when it comes to chametz, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, once you get past Chatzos and Erev Pesach, you cannot do bedikas chametz anymore because you might come to eat from it. Yet when it comes to the Chadash, he has no problem with handling the Chadash, even when it's still Aser. Three answers the Gemara is going to offer. Number one, Amar Rava, shiny Chadash, mitok shalo etartelo, eli adei kituv, hu zachar. That when we allow you to handle Chadash, it's only with a shinui. That if you're going to be kotzer, you're going to harvest Chadash, you can't do it with a regular kelim, and you just have to grab it. You can't really do the normal things. Since you're anyway handling it with the shinui, so you're going to remember not to eat it. Whereas when you're doing bedikas chametz, you're not really doing it with the shinui, and therefore you're not going to remember not to eat it. So Amar Abaye Tenach b'shas ketifa tchina v'harkadam ayikel meimer. That makes sense at the time that you're actually harvesting the chadash. But what about when you're grinding it, and what about when you're sifting it? There's no shinui over there, so how are you going to remember not to eat it? So halo kasha tchina berechai diad harkad al gabin nafa. Sure, you do it with the shinui. You could do the grinding with a hand mill instead of the larger mill that would normally be used. And you could do the harkada by the back of the sieve instead of the front of the sieve in the way that it's a shinoi. You're holding it upside down. So that's a shinoi also. So that you just make sure there's a shinoi at every stage in the process. And as long as you make sure there's a shinoi at every stage in the process, you're not going to come to eat from it. But wait a second. We said that Rabbi Yehuda holds that as long as you're taking grain that is not eligible to use for the Karban Omer, you're allowed to do regular ketzira. You don't have to do ketifa. You don't have to do it with the shinui. You could do regular harvesting. But wait, all the grain, even that which is not eligible to be used for the Karban Omer, is chadash. And yet Rabbi Yehuda says without a shinui, you're allowed to handle it before the chadash becomes mutter. So your answer, Rava, is not going to work. So that's what leads the Gemara to a second answer. So the Gemara says, you're right. Rava's answer, the Chora, is not going to work. It can't be that they're always handling with the shinui, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda allows handling the Chadash, because it's not true. Rabbi Yehuda allows even without a shinui. We have him on record that he allows without a shinui, as long as you're taking from those things that you can't bring the Karban Omer from. Ella Amar Abaye, answer number two. Why is it that Rabbi Yehuda is perfectly okay with handling Chadash bizmani suro, but he's not perfectly okay with handling Chametz once it becomes Aser? Ella Amar Abaye, Chadash Badul Mine, minei, chametz lo badal minei. It's all about what you're used to staying away from. Chadash people, it's asr the whole year, meaning until it becomes mutter, it's asr for a very, very long time, and therefore there's no concern that if a person is handling chadash, that he's going to come to eat it. Chametz, a person has the whole year round. He's always eating chametz, except for that 1 week of Pesach. So if he's going to be handling the chametz, we're afraid he's going to forget and he's going to come to eat it. So that's the second way of resolving the stira in Rabbi Yehuda. So before we go further, that comment that badal minei versus lo badal minei might be the basis for a major discussion in Poskim about whether there's an isser schora with chadash. See, when it comes to machalos asuros in general, there's a mishnah masech shvius that says that you're not allowed to do schora with peros shvius. You're not allowed to do business with shmita produce, but not just are you not allowed to do business with shvius, not pe becharos, not pe trumos, not pe nevelos, not pe trefos. Meaning, if a person is a firm person and he only eats kosher, he's not for business. He's not allowed to own a trefa restaurant, right? You're not allowed to do schora with something that's machalos asuros. If that's how you make your money, you're not allowed to do such things. Lo b'shkatzim, lo b'ramasim. And the Rambam writes that that anything that's also b'achila, even though it's mutter b'ano, we're not talking about isuri ano over here. We're not talking kilei akeram. We're talking about things that are mutter b'ano. They're just also b'achila. So you're allowed to get hana from them. You could feed them to your dog, but you're not allowed to do business with such items. Even though it's mutter b'ano and it's only also b'achila, you're not allowed to do schora. So the klal is, says the Rambam, that anything that's asr min haTorah, it's asr to do schora with. Anything that's only asr min haRabbanan, you're allowed to do schora with. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Yeredeya Simon Kuf Yud Zayin. And the Taz just points out that there's a shitas haRashba. The Rashba writes in a tshuva, why is it that it's asr min haSchora? Because of a chashash that you might come to eat from it. If you do schora with it, you might come to eat from it. So the Taz suggests that originally the Rashba thought that the isr schora is an isr daraisa, and he was just explaining that the Yisr Torah, because you might come to eat from it, that's the reason for the Yisr Torah. But then the Taz says, no, the Rashba probably means that it's only an Yisr Midrabanan, which is the way the Truma Sedeshin understood as well, that it's only an Yisr Midrabanan, like it sounds like, Shema Yavol Yachla, I'm not allowed to do Schara with it, because I might come to eat from it, that it's only an Yisr Midrabanan. However, the Mishnah Lamelech understands that the Yisr Schara is actually an Yisr Min HaTorah, and we learn from Shratim to Kol Shari Surim, that anytime you have something you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to do schora with. The nafkamina, whether it's nisa d'araisa or nisa d'rabanan, safek isra. Am I allowed to do schora with something that's a safek isra? If you hold that a nisa schora is min haTorah, even a safek isra is going to be nisa schora. If you hold that it's only nisa d'rabanan, we could be makel b'makom safek. So comes along the binas adam, the chachmas adam in binas adam, and he writes that even according to the Rashba, that the isra schora is an isra min haTorah, clearly the Rashba is not going to say there were gozer on schora by ma'achol sasuros shema yavol le'achol, that you might come to eat them. Why not? Why isn't it a gzera midrabanan that you might come to eat from it? Because our Gemara says explicitly that there wouldn't be such a gzera midrabanan. Anything that's badal minei, anything that you're used to staying away from, like chadash, for example, they had no problem with doing schora. What was the whole point over here? The whole problem was that you'd go out as soon as chadash became mutter and you'll find shuka Yerushalayim already full with it. So apparently they were doing schora with it. They were already being osik b'schora, meaning all the preparation to sell was also called schora. So they were involved in schora. So apparently we would not aser schora on a drabana level by something that's always aser. So must be therefore that it's only that it's an isra daraisa, and that's the shitas harashba. The question then becomes, why would but it's beferish over here that chadash is mutter? Why is there no isra schora on chadash and there is an isra schora on everything else? So that the post can work on. Why would we distinguish between schora of chadash, where apparently that's mutter, and schora and everything else, where apparently schora and everything else is an isra mida oraisa? But okay, be that as it may, that's the beginnings of this discussion, is based on the fact that the Gemara makes this distinction between what's badal minei versus not badal minei. Amar Rava, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Kasha, Drabana, Drabana, Lo Kasha. Before before we move on to the third answer of how to resolve the stira in Rabbi Yehuda, Rava just points out it's also a stira in the Rabbanan. Meaning, I pointed out before, when we said Divrei Meir, that means the Rabbanan. So in our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir had no problem, the Rabbanan had no problem by telling us, yeah, continue to handle chametz and do b'dikas chametz even after the Zman Isser, meaning I'm not worried that you're going to come to eat it. Yet, Rabbi Meir's, meaning the Rabbanan, did not like the idea that they set up the streets of Yerushalayim full of chadash before it became mutter. Apparently, they are worried that you're going to come to eat it. Why are they more worried about chadash than they are about chametz? So that's what the Gemara of Amar Rava. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Kasha, Drabana, Drabana, Lo Kasha, Drabana, Lo Kasha. So the steer in Rabbi Yehuda we answered already. Drabana, Drabana, Nami Lo Kasha. Who atzma mechazra love the sarfo mechal ka'achl minei. The reason the Rabbanan are not concerned that you're going to come to eat chametz, even though that while you're doing bedika, yet they are concerned that you're going to come to eat chadash when you're preparing the streets of Yerushalayim, is a different svara. That while you're going out of your way to try to destroy something, it is highly unlikely that you're then going to come to eat it. Meaning, it's one thing if you're handling something in a loving way, in a caring way, where but if you're handling something to destroy it, you're handling something dafka to avoid the Isser, dafka to get rid of the Isser, it's highly unlikely that dafka at that point you're going to come to eat from it. And that's a svara that comes up in a number of places in halacha. So first of all, within chametz itself, there is a discussion in poskim. What happens if you find chametz, but it's not yours, right? It's chametz that you already sold to a guy. So do we have this same svara that you're allowed to pick it up and move it somewhere and don't worry, you're not going to come to eat from it because you're just trying to get rid of it. Because Pashtos is, if chametz belongs to a guy, you're not allowed to destroy it. It belongs to him, so it's us. You're not allowed to steal it from him. You're not allowed to destroy his stuff. So what do you want to do if you find chametz in your house that you already sell? When we sell our chametz, we sell all the chametz in our house. We designate certain places where we even lease that space to a guy, and we designate that space where the chametz of the guy is going to be kept, and we block off that space. But all the chametz in our possession, wherever it may be, is included in the mechira. So if I find chametz that's not where it's supposed to be, but it belongs to the guy, the thing I want to do is I want to put it with the rest of the chametz that belongs to the guy. Am I allowed to do that though? If I'm not being chozer of the sarfo, I'm not taking it to go and burn it, am I allowed to handle it? So some of the poskim say, yes, you're trying, that's sort of vazmerize, you are getting rid of it. You're just getting rid of it, not by burning it, but by putting it with the rest of his stuff. Whereas others suggest, no, probably better to burn it. So Rav Azan writes in the tshuva, you're not allowed to burn it. He says, yes, you are. It's understood in the mechira that the guy understands. He's buying a lot of chametz. He understands that if there's something that's not where it belongs, that you get very uneasy about that, and that you're going to burn it. And I know with Rav Willig, we always ask John Brown beferish. We ask him beferish, if we find chametz that's out of place, it's going to make us feel very uneasy, we're going to want to destroy it. Is that okay? And every year he says that's okay. He says, I'm buying so much chametz, you find a couple of Cheerios, I'm perfectly fine if you burn a couple of Cheerios. He has no problem with it if it makes us uneasy. So then you have that svara that the Gemara says, that huatzmo, that as you're trying to burn it, obviously you're not going to come to eat from it. In Shulchan Aruch, we pass in a different context, a similar idea. Shulchan Aruch passes in Ayin Reish Hei in Arachayim, that even though there's a halach, that you're not allowed to be kori la'ora ner on Shabbos, because of a gzera shemayata, a gzera that you might come to tilt the ner, if what you decide to read by the ora ner is Perek Bam Madlikin, that's okay. Because as you're learning Perek Bam Madlikin, it's unlikely that you're going to come to tilt the ner on Shabbos. Halach HaMufresh is in Shulchan Aruch. Mishnah Berurah writes from the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like Dafka Perek Bam Madlikin, because that's talking about in Yonam of Hadakas HaNer. So how could you possibly forget and violate something that's ner related? However, the Achronim debate if that's true. Is it Dafka Perek Bam Madlikin or any Hilcha Shabbos? Meaning, how broadly do we view this? We certainly don't view it so broadly where we say any piece of Torah, because as I'm learning Torah, I'm going to violate the Torah? No, we definitely don't say that. But what about other parts of Masechta Shabbos? Do I say, as I'm learning about Shabbos, I'm going to violate Shabbos? Or is it Dafka Perek Bam Madlikin that's ner specific? So that's a discussion. The Aruch HaSchaim, he has two deos about this. He says, Mikol Makom, Lomer Bam Madlikin B'machzer Nira Shemut Alar Ener, Shayu Maske Yisra Shabbos Ve'ech Yishkach. So he has 2 days explicitly in the Aruch HaShabbos. There's also a discussion about learning before davening each and every morning. Meaning, am I concerned that because I'm learning, like right now, we're learning before davening, am I concerned that because we're learning that we're going to come to miss the Zman Tefillah, to forget to daven, because we're going to get so caught up in the beautiful sugyas in the first parak of Pesachim. So the Kazakh Lover Gon, in his Eretz Tzvi, in his Shuvas Eretz Tzvi, says clearly the Minhag Olam is that we do learn before davening, and the Limud Zchus, he says, is that we assume that it's Lutzorach HaTefillah, because the Zohar talks about the great value of being mekadesh one's mind with Torah prior to davening. That if a person is doing other things before davening, their mind is not pure, their mind is not in the right place, but a person learns before davening, it's a preparation for davening. So as you're engaging in something that's a toelis for the davening, we're not going to be choshesh that it will come to distract you from the davening. That's a shvera yishuv, because when you're handling chametz to destroy it, you're thinking about destroying the chametz, so you're not going to come to eat it. When you're learning, you shouldn't be thinking about davening. You should be thinking about the sugya that you're learning. So it's a different mindset. It may be true that it's good to learn before davening. And also, is that really true that it's always good to learn before davening? The Gemara, Maseches Brachos, says explicitly that you're not really supposed to. You're not supposed to be heavily engaged in the sugya right before davening. El mitoch halacha psuka. You know, the moment of the spell, el mitoch halacha psuka. That you, whatever you learn before davening should not be something that really occupies your mind. It should be something that's halacha psuka, right? The Gemara says, "My halacha psuka that Amar Rav Zeir Ben Oshar L'chmiru Atzma Shavu Rose Tibus Dam Chardel Yeshu Shalosh Minakim." Some halacha that there's no real explaining it. It just is. It's something that was a minhag that Ben Oshar Yisrael accepted. And that's what you're supposed to be doing before davening. Dafka, so that your mind is clear to daven and is not caught up in learning. But that's the creative suggestion of the great Kazakh Glover Gon, the Talmud of the Avnei Nezer, Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frumer. Okay, so now we move on to the third answer of the Gemara. Again, we're dealing with the stira of Rav Yehuda. The Rav Yehuda apparently is not comfortable with you handling chametz once the Zman Isser has come, because you might come to eat from it, but he's perfectly comfortable with all the merchants handling the chadash while the chadash is asir. So Rav Asher, Rav Yehuda, lo kasha, kemach ve'koli tnan. No, you're handling it when it's not edible, when it's roasted grain that's not edible until you grind it up and you make it into a bread. V'had Rav Asher Badusi says, Mari, but that answer is not an acceptable answer, because ha'teinach mikali ve'elach, that would work once it's already roasted and inedible. But may kara ad kali ma'ikalameimar. But initially, until it gets roasted, how do you get it to that point? You're handling the grain at that point. V'chita ma'idekitov. So you're going to tell me, oh no, when you harvest it, you do it with a shinoi kidarava, and therefore we're relying on Rava's original answer as far as that's concerned. Elokotzin based shalchem shabam makom v'kim nekrab yuda ma'ikalameimar. But what about the fact that we said that you're allowed to be kotzer the base of shalchem and the area in the amakom, where the places where you cannot bring the carbon omer from because it's lesser quality grain, and we said that's going like Rav Yehuda, and you're not doing a shinoi. So what are you going to say over there? It's edible grain. El de Rav Ashi Badusi. So we reject the answer of Rav Ashi. Period. That's the first sugya, how to handle the stira in Rav Yehuda about handling something after Zman Isuro. Says Gemara. Now another point. V'kalhecha de lo badal minei mi gaza Rav Yehuda. One of the answers that we gave, the only one that we really accepted, was the second answer, where Abaye had said that chadash is badal minei. You're used to staying away from chadash, so you're allowed to handle it. You're not used to staying away from chametz, and therefore you're not allowed to handle it. Says Gemara, does Rabbi Yehuda really subscribe to such a svara? Anything that you're not used to staying away from, does Rabbi Yehuda really make a gzeira that you might come to eat it? Speaking of Perek Bam Madlikin, the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to take a hollowed out eggshell and fill it up with oil and have it slow drip into a candle to supply oil to the candle. And even if the candle is made out of cheres, where you're then not going to likely use it because it becomes gross, Rabbi Yehuda matter. Rabbi Yehuda says that's perfectly fine. So apparently, even though it's something that's lo badal minei, you're not used to staying away from oil throughout the week, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's perfectly fine. But by chametz, he didn't think it was perfectly fine because you're not used to staying away from it. So which is it? No one's going to come to violate Shabbos. Shabbos people take very seriously, and therefore people will manage to to restrain themselves from violating Shabbos, even if it's the type of thing that they're used to using throughout the entire week. Says Mar, okay, I'll ask you a steer within Shabbos then. V'rami de Shabbos ha Shabbos. You're really going to tell me that because Chumar de Shabbos, no one's ever going to violate any Yisr? D'tanya, chevel delisha nifsak. If you have a rope that's attached to a bucket that snaps, lo ye kosher ela onvo, Tanakama says, you're not allowed to tie a knot, but you're allowed to tie a bow. Rabbi Yehuda omer korich lof pundo, piskio bulvach liyanvenu. You take some sort of makeshift thing and just wrap it around, but you can't even tie a bow. So kasha drabida, Rabbi Yehuda, kasha drabana, drabana. It's a double stira. Rabbi Yehuda allows you to tie a bow over here. Apparently he does not allow you to tie a bow over here. Apparently he's concerned that even on Shabbos you're going to come to make a mistake and you come to violate the Yisr. Aye, but we just learned that Rabbi Yehuda with the Ner Shel Cheres is not worried about Shabbos, and it's stira in the Rabbanan as well. So it says, as far as the Rabbanan, lo kasha, shemen b'shemen michlef, aniva b'kshira lo michlef, that a person will confuse oil for other oil, meaning if generally during the week you use oil, I'm afraid of you being near oil that you're not allowed to take on Shabbos. But kshira b'aniva, no one's going to confuse a knot for a bow. Rabbi Yehuda lo kasha, and the stira, Rabbi Yehuda is also not a stira. The reason Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow you to tie a bow is not because of any sort of gzeira that you can come to violate Shabbos. This is a unique shita of Rabbi Yehuda in the malacha of kosher. He holds that tying a bow is a violation of the malacha of kosher. There's nothing to do about a gzeira. This is the iser. So, Rami drabanan drabanan, but I'll ask you a stira in the shita of the rabbanan d'tnan, kosher, leave a piskia of a lobe chevel, Rabbi Yehuda matir, that you're allowed to tie a bucket with a piskia, but not with a chevel. And Rabbi Yehuda says even with a chevel, so chevel demai. What kind of rope are we talking about? What kind of action are you doing? So chevel dialma, ilay mechevel dialma. If you can say it's just a regular rope, Rabbi Yehuda allows you to just tie a regular rope. Can't be. Kesher shel kayama hu devadei asu levtulei. No, that's a kesher shel kayama. You're definitely going to leave it there if it's a regular rope and a regular knot. There's no way you're ever going to undo that if you don't have to. So that's that's definitely a problem. El pshita degardi. So it must be talking about that we're talking about a weaver's rope. V'gozer rabbanu chevel degardi atu chevel dialma. And you see the rabbanu do make a gzeira of using a chevel degardi atu a regular chevel. So it's a steer in the rabbanan. So it says mar in chevel bechevel machlef aniv b'kshir la michlefa. Just because the rabbanan say don't use this rope lest you come to use a rope that you're not allowed to use, it doesn't mean that they're going to make a gzeira. Don't tie a bow lest you come to tie a knot. A bow and a knot are very different from each other. They look entirely different. But one type of rope and another type of rope is a much more nuanced difference. And therefore the rabbanan are much more concerned in such a case that you might get confused. So now the Gemara challenges again. Again, we had one challenge to the idea that Rabbi Yehuda holds that whenever you're not used to staying away from something, I'm worried that you're going to come to violate. So like by chametz, I'm not used to staying away from chametz, and therefore I'm worried that if you're handling it, you're going to come to eat it. So the first challenge was, but what about the oil by the shemen, by the ner on Shabbos? How come Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned over there? Now the Gemara is going to ask a second challenge. Whenever you're used to staying away from it, is Rabbi Yehuda not going to be gozer? I mean, we said by the Chadosh, you're used to staying away from it, so Rabbi Yehuda's not going to be gozer. Lo gozer Rabbi Yehuda v'atanya, but I'll tell you a price. So b'char sha'achzudam, if a b'char behema has some sort of dam issue, so it needs hakazas adam in order to be healthy, afilu hu meis, even if it's going to die otherwise, ein makiz no dam, to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't allow you to do hakazas adam. I'm afraid you're going to be mati l'mum in the b'char. So now a b'char is something that's badal mina. You never are allowed to use the b'char. You're never allowed to be matil mum b'b'char. And Rabbi Yehuda says that you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to do hakazas adam lest you be matil mum. Why is that any different than the chadash where Rabbi Yehuda says, nah, since you're always used to staying away from chadash, I'm not worried about you handling it. V'chamim say, do the hakazah, just be careful. Don't make a mum. So I answer Gemara, now, hasim mitok shadam bahul, al mamonu amina nishar yisay b'makam she'en osin b'mum, asil mev b'makam she'osin b'mum. Over there, since a person is bahul al mamonu, a person is very nervous about losing the value of the animal, so we say that if we're going to allow him in a place where it's ein osin b'mum, he might come to do it even in a place where it's osin b'mum. So v'rabbanan, and the rabbanan hold that adrabah, since a person is bahul al mamonu, kol shkein di lo shar yisay klal osin mevin, you always have to be careful. You can't make a gzeira that's something that is ein yachal amad bo. So if you tell, look, you could do hakazas adam, you just got to do it carefully, he'll be careful. But if you tell him you can't do hakazas adam at all, and guess what, your animal's going to die and you're going to lose all that money, he's not going to be able to be omid b'nisayon. That's the Rabbanan shita. Does Rabbi Yehuda have such a svara that a person is baal amonah and therefore you have to be choshesh that he's going to come to an iser v'atnan? But the Mishnah says in Masechet Beit Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ein mekadvin abeima b'yom tov. You're not allowed to scrape an animal on yom tov, to comb an animal on yom tov, because you're going to make a wound on the animal's skin, and to make a chabura in balei chayim is asr on Shabbos and yom tov. It's an av malach of chovel avul mekartzefin, but you're allowed to be mekartzef the behema because kirtzuf is not going to make a chabura. We'll define what that means in a second. The Chum say you're not allowed to do either of these activities. Vitanya and the Brisa elaborates. Ezu kidur vezu kirtzuf. What is kidur and what is kirtzuf? So kidur kitanim osin chabura. Eva osin chabura. Kidur is with a comb with a very small teeth to it, and that they will make a chabura, whereas kirtzuf is gedolim, which has these big teeth to it, and ain't osin chabura, does not make a chabura. So you see, Rabbi Yehuda does not ask for being mekartzef, and he's not choshesh that if I'm matir kirtzuf, it's going to be maybe lide kidur, even though he's bol al mamono, it's his animal, he doesn't want the animal to get ruined. And so Gemara, no, what's going to happen if you don't comb the animal? Hasam di yishavikle mayis, amin adam bol al mamono. When it comes to hakazas hadam, if a person leaves the animal and doesn't do the bloodletting, it's going to die, and therefore you're going to be very nervous about that, and therefore I have to be choshesh that you might do bloodletting even in a way that's going to make it a bal mum, because you're trying to save its life so that you don't lose all that money. But hachi yishavik leitzar b'yalmu, over here, if you don't comb the animal will be uncomfortable. It's not going to die. You're not going to lose any money. The animal's going to lose because the animal's going to be uncomfortable. But for that, we're not afraid you're going to violate any issue. Lo amrin another bal al mamono. So Rabbi Yehuda Maishna gabi chamitz. Why is it that Rabbi Yehuda made a chametz on a gzeira on chametz not to do the bedika after the zman iser? Because you might come to eat it, but when it comes to kirtzuf, Rabbi Yehuda did not make a gzeira that you might come to comb it. So lechem belechem michlaf kidur bekirtzuf lo michlaf, because one might confuse one type of food for another type of food, chametz for matzah, but a person is ever going to confuse two different types of combing an animal. Period. New mission now. When is the iser of eating chametz? When does the iser begin? Rameir Omer. Othum kol chamesh, you're allowed to eat throughout the fifth hour of the day, the whole first 5 hours of the day on Erev Pesach. Vissar from Tchil Sheshen, you burn the chametz at the beginning of the sixth hour. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, othum kol arba, no, you could eat throughout the first 4 hours of the day. Vitolum kol chamesh, during the fifth hour, you don't have to burn it yet, but you're not allowed to eat it anymore. Vissar from Tchil Sheshen, you do in fact burn it at the beginning of the sixth hour. Va'odam Rabbi Yehuda, shtei chalashot told the psulos menachas agave yitzteba. They used to make a simon that people should know when you're still allowed to eat chametz, when you're no longer allowed to eat chametz, and when you better be burning chametz. What they would do is they would take two chalos of karmen todah. Karmen todah is made of 40 loaves, so they would take two of the loaves of a karmen todah. So they mean there are four types of loaves. Three of them are matzah, and one of them is chametz. So they would take two of the loaves that became pasul, and they would put it on an itztva on the harabais where everybody could see it. Kol zman shemunachos, whenever there were two loaves there, kol amoch, and everyone knew that you're still allowed to eat chametz. Nitla achas, if one of them was removed, and there was only one left, tolden. Everyone knew, okay, now it's the fifth hour, you're not allowed to eat chametz anymore, you don't yet have to burn it. Lo ochlin v'lo sarfin. Nitlu shteyan. But once both loaves were removed, hischilu kalam sarfin. Then everyone already began to burn the chametz, because then they knew that it's time for beer. Ram Gamliel omer, chulin echal kol arba, truma kol chametz, sarfin t'chil sheish. Sort of a machria between the two shitos. That can you eat during that fifth hour? We had a machlokas tanaim. Can you eat during that fifth hour? Ram Gamliel says, it depends what. If it's chulin, you're not allowed to eat during the fifth hour, you're going to have to throw that out, you're going to have to destroy it, you'll have to burn it. But truma, we're always nervous, we don't want you to have to burn truma. Truma Torah is normally usher to burn. So we want to take advantage of every last opportunity to be able to eat truma. So we're going to give you an extension on truma. We're not going to make a gezeira during that fifth hour when it comes to eating truma. So says the Gemara, Tanan Hasan, we have a Mishnah Masech Sanhedrin about how people figure out the different, the time of day. So Tanan Hasan, the Mishnah tells us as follows, Echram B'Shnayim B'Chodesh V'Echram B'Shlosha, Edusan that if two Eidim come, one says that an event happened on the second day of the month, the other one said the third day of the month, it's a perfectly valid Eid. It's simply one of them knew that the last month was a 30-day month, the other one thought it was a 29-day month. But if they're off by 2 days, then their Eidus is batel. Because that can't easily be explained by that mistake. When it comes to what time of day it was, if they're off by 1 hour, Eidus and Kayamis. kayemis, then it's perfectly acceptable. Echron b'shalosh v'echron b'chamesh, edusim b'teil divramei, rabbi domer edusim kayemis. If they're off by 2 hours, one said it was the third hour of the day, one says it was the fifth hour of the day, machlokas tanaim. Rameir says no good, Rabbi Yehuda says perfectly fine. But if they're off by 2 hours but at a different time of day, then it's going to be a problem according to everybody. Echron b'chamesh v'echron b'sheva, edusim b'teil, shabchamesh chamba b'mizrach, b'sheva chamba b'marav. It's not like nowadays where people aren't used to looking at the sun and knowing what time of day it is. They used to always look at the sun to determine what time of day it is. There's no way they would confuse the fifth hour of the day for the seventh hour of the day, because at Chatzos, the sun goes over the middle of the sky, so they never would have made that mistake. So Amar Abaye, comments, Kishatim Shalom Divir Ameir, Ein Adam Tov Lo Klum, the Rabbi Yehuda Adam Tov Chatzi Shah. If you want to understand the Machlokes Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda over here, about third hour and fifth hour, right, that Rameir says Edusim Betela, and Rabbi Yehuda says Edusim Kayemes, it must be that Rameir holds people don't make a mistake in time at all, and Rabbi Yehuda holds people can be off by a half hour. It must have been at the very end of the second, beginning of the third hour. So between 2:59 and 3:01, people are not going to be able to tell that nuance of difference. So people don't really make a mistake. It was exactly at that time. The guy who said two, the second hour, meant the end of the second. The one that said the third hour meant the beginning of the third. That a person makes a mistake by a half an hour, and both of them were off by a half an hour. So it happened in the middle of the hour, and one was off in one direction, the other was off in the other direction. So it sounded like they were off by 2 hours, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda holds that that's still acceptable. And Beis Hashem will get into the Ikadamri and other ways of understanding this machlokas tomorrow. Everyone have a great day. Yeah. You too. Have a great day.